I thought tonight we would do something a little different. We last time was talking about, anybody remember what we talked about last time? I didn't think so. We talked about the idea that there's several passages. We were going, it was prayer night, so we didn't spend a lot of time. But we prefaced our prayer time with the idea of thinking about the text where Paul urges us to pray always. Do you remember that? And we asked our question. We found that he says to the Romans, I'm always praying for you. Pray for you all the time, all constantly. Then he turns around and says the same thing to the Colossians. And then he turns around and says the same thing to the church at Thessalonica. And the question is, how can you be praying for all these people all the time? And what does that mean? I don't think it meant that he spent formal time in prayer, as we think, but that he was in a constant attitude of prayer. That's probably the best way of putting it. And so every time the Lord brought them to his mind, he prays for them. And so it's not a situation he has to stop what he's doing. It's just constant lines of communication are open. Well, anyway, that's sort of what set me off in thinking about tonight. I was just going to, in my little closing episodes here before the end of the month and disappear, thinking about prayer and some things to keep in mind and things that are easy to keep in mind. And one of the memory tools that preachers typically use is the principle of alliteration. Are you familiar? Somebody tell me what alliteration means. Right. You got a list of topics and every point that you make starts with the same letter, okay? And there is some biblical precedent for that. There is alliteration in the Scripture. Can anybody, this is for extra credit tonight, can anybody tell me where you would find alliteration? Of course, it's got to be in the original language, right? Psalm 119, exactly right. In Psalm 119, you have 176 verses, which are 8 verses starting with the Hebrew alphabet, starting with Aleph, Bet, Gimel, down 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each section has 8 verses that start with that letter, and they run all the way through the Hebrew alphabet. So alliteration was used in, we would assume, in Psalm 119 by David himself. And you think about it, a lot of work has to go in it. Now, if you read it out of the English Bible, it's not going to work, obviously, because of the translation. But a lot of work goes into that. So we assume David was inspired to do that. And so we would say, well, why would you do such a thing? And the answer is because that helps you remember. So tonight, I got to thinking, okay, what are some terms that we could use to speak of prayer? And it began to be obvious to me that there is one letter in particular that we find over and over again in reference to prayer. And it's the letter P. And I was going to title this the 7 P's of praying, and then the 8 P's of prayer. No, the 9 P's. And now I've got 10 listed down here, and I wanted you to help me think of these and perhaps others. So you're going to have to do some work tonight. I'll give you the first one because that's the one we talked about last time. Praying should be what? Perpetual. That's what Paul is saying. Praying always. Okay? And as I said, I don't think that means that he's on his knees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but he's always constantly in the state of communicating with God. So I'm giving you the first one, perpetual prayer, praying perpetually. Now, you're going to have to come up with the rest of them. I've got 10 in all. I've given you one. Persistent prayer. Now, what's the difference between perpetual prayer and persistent prayer? Harping on the same thing over and over again. What's that? Okay, I was going to say, can you give me scripture reference for persistent prayer? And the best reference is Luke 18, where, give us the background of the unjust judge, Darren. What's? She keeps wanting him to avenge her of her adversaries. Well, somebody's done something wrong to this poor widow lady. And she keeps going to the judge. And as you say, persistent prayer is different from perpetual prayer in that you're constantly coming back to the same thing over and over and over again. Okay, that's one of the ones I've got here, persistent prayer. I'm going to scratch them off as we go, okay? Can you, what's that? Praise, prayer of praise, or praying with praise. That is another one down here. Can you give me a scripture reference for that? Or can you, anybody think of a passage? I have one, but there are probably others. Yes, exactly. All over the place. Psalm 100 would be a good one. Come before his presence with singing, praise, thanksgiving. I was thinking of Philippians chapter 4. What's that? In everything, give thanks. Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. So yes, our prayers are to be peppered, shall we say, seasoned with praise, praise to God. Okay? We got three of them here. What's that? Petition. Wait just a minute. Yes. Same passage, and that's what I've got down here. Same passage. Notice, what does he say? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There is certainly a place for us in prayer to acknowledge with thanksgiving what God has done for us. But certainly one of the purposes of prayer is for us to plead, to petition our God for certain favors. I mean, that's indicative of one of the reasons why we pray, is that we're coming with requests. Now, that's not all we do in prayer. It's not like we come with our laundry list. Why do we call it a laundry list? I would say grocery list. That makes more sense than a laundry list. But anyway, laundry list, the old saying. We're not just coming with a, I want this, I want that, I want this. We come acknowledging with thanksgiving what God has done for us. We praise him for who he is, what he is, what he's done. And yet, certainly, part of prayer is petition. When we have the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, we have a lot of praise. God, hallow your name. We just sang, be unto your name. That is sort of an expression of the Lord's Prayer. And yet, as we go on into that prayer, it's give us this day, forgive us our debts, so forth. So it includes petition. Okay. Sharon, I cut you off. What? Patience. I used I used another word. What would be a synonym? What's a good biblical synonym for patience? Persevere. Persevering prayer. All right? Now, tell me, what's the difference between persevering prayer and perpetual prayer and persistent prayer? They're all very similar. As we said, perpetual prayer is you're praying all the time. Persistent prayer is you're coming back over and over again for the same thing. What would be the difference then with persevering or patient prayer? You don't give up. You don't quit. You can be in a state of perpetual prayer while you pray and then quit. You can be in a state of persistent prayer. You're asking for the same thing for a period of time and then you quit. Persevering prayer doesn't quit. Patient prayer. Okay? Y'all are sort of following my same thought pattern. Praying with purpose. I've got that down here. Y'all are, either our minds are in the same gutter or we're thinking like here. Okay, now what do you mean by that? Okay? there's a couple of ways, and I think in thinking about purposeful prayer, we could look at that from the human side, but I think you're right. Typically, we're thinking in terms of the divine side of things, is the things that we desire to see happen. And our prayer, what would be the opposite of purposeful praying? Aimlessness. You're just speaking words to no end, taking up space, filling time. And typically, why in the world would you pray without a purpose? Well, obviously, you think by your much speaking you'll be heard, the illustration Jesus gives, or that there's just some value in the act of praying itself, that praying is a religious discipline and exercise, that I've got to do it. I will be better thought of if I do it. God will give me, I'll win brownie points with God for praying. And all of those things would be the symptom of a purposeless praying. But, okay, what is our purpose in praying? You mentioned the hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Obviously, we think of those things as far as God the Father is concerned. What is our purpose in praying towards God the Son? Okay. We want to see his glory. Okay. Well, yeah. In other words, we would then pray to him as for forgiveness. Pray for his coming. I've got down here, pray for his kingdom to be extended in the earth. And then what would we pray as in regards to the Holy Spirit? Comfort? Be poured out? Why would we want him to be poured out? His power. In other words, it is the Holy Spirit that is the instrument through whom God works. So we would plead for God to be glorified, God's Son to be glorified, and his kingdom extended in the earth through the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit being poured out. So we would say that is our purpose. That's our goal, our aim in our praying. Okay, y'all getting pretty good here. Only got, let me see, 1, 2, 3 left. There's 4. Private and penitent. I don't have either one of those. Penitent prayer. What do you mean by that? Repenting in prayer. That's certainly, I'm going to have to add that. Penitent. Mainly because my wife said it. I gotta put that down. And what'd you say? Private prayer. Well, yeah. I'm more thinking of the nature of prayer, but okay. It's a P. It works. No, I didn't hit the gong. It's not the gong show. So you get a prostrating prayer. I don't have that one either, but God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You're right. Prostrating prayer. What's a good way of saying that? Praying with a prostrated heart? I don't know. But you're right. Clearly, that is a connection with praying. If we want our prayers answered, we must come in a bowed, lowly, no pride, or if we want to be heard. Okay? You see what I mean? Isn't it strange how many P's you can associate with the idea of praying? And I've got some more here. Yes, Janet? Yeah. Though the publican would be an example. In other words, pray like a publican. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's probably true, but that's the idea. Yeah, exactly. How about, let me throw another one out here, passionate prayer. And my scripture text would be over in James, the fervent and effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word fervent is the idea of being passionate. And the word in Greek is energeo, which means energetic. It's strange. It means to work, to labor in prayer. We don't normally think of straining ourselves praying, but that's the very nature of fervent prayer, is that it is active, laborious, energetic pleading with God. We tend to think of being fervent in something along with the idea of intensity and sometimes heat, warmth, a fervent flame, for instance. And so it's the idea of being hot, being on fire towards something, as opposed to being lukewarm or cold. And so, John? I've got that down here. I said, as much as possible, mouth God's words back to Him. But I've got it under another P. And praying according to God's promises. In other words, and you're exactly right. I mean, think about that in many cases, good biblical praying is praying the Bible. The words of God Himself, that we are repeating those words back to our God, reminding Him of His promises that He has made. Okay? So you had it, you just didn't have the word. Yes, Janet? Yeah, persevering, persistent prayer, perpetual prayer. We went through a bunch of those at the very beginning. Yes, Charles? Pleasing. Well, I don't have that, but... that would be in accordance with His will, I suppose. And I was putting that sort of under the idea of promise. I had another word here, perspicuity. Does anybody know praying with perspicuity? What does that mean? What is perspicuity? Well, no, that's importunity. Yeah, importunity. And I tried to find a P for that one. I'm not sure exactly what P would fit importunity. Importunity is the idea of shameless. I mean, here the guy has guest shows up and he goes and bangs on his neighbor's door for stuff to feed his friends, you know. The shamelessness of it. He just has no borders. And I could never think of a P for that. Pleading, maybe. Well, y'all are avoiding my question. What does perspicuity mean? Huh? With purpose? No. Huh? Perspicuity. It's a great word. Perspicuity means looking all around you. It is to be. And my text would be praying with all prayer and watching in the same. Watchful prayer is perspicuous prayer. Praying. Okay, here's an example. What does Paul mean when he says watch in prayer? Well, it is, the idea is like a watchman. And what is the watchman watching for? He's watching for danger. And so to pray perspicuously, I don't know how to make that, perspicuously, means that we are praying with our eyes wide open for the attack of the enemy. The fact that we are vulnerable in our circumstances. And so when Paul would say, pray and watch in the same, is to watch for the approach of Satan, watch for the temptations of the flesh. And we think of that in the Lord's Prayer, what would be the prayer of perspicuity? Lead us not into temptation. That's watching in prayer. Okay, and I have one more. And you would probably not think of this one, but what? Well, I thought a good P to go along with that, praying from a spirit of poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's poverty praying, I guess you could say. And that's not praying for wealth. It's praying out of a spirit that has no resources. And that's why we pray. If we have the resources, you don't need to pray. But a prayer of, and what I guess you would call that, it's very similar to the prostrate. No, that's prostrate, isn't it? I've got to get my words here. Just a little bit of difference there. That we are humble, but humble, being poor in spirit is a way of expressing humility. Yeah, that we're poor. Pray from a poverty of spirit. Well, my last one, in case anybody, is praying, acknowledging the privilege of prayer. And the fact is that we are given promises in the scripture. Believers are given promises. I've often said that God may, according to his sovereign pleasure, hear the cries of man, lost man, purely as his creature. God sometimes hears a cry of pity, just for his own sovereign purpose. However, it's different with the believer where God has covenanted to hear us for the sake of his son, to invoke the name of Christ. He has promised to hear that prayer, the prayer prayed through the intercessory work of Christ. And I would call that praying, acknowledging the privilege that we have an avenue, we do have a line of communication with the Father that others don't have. We see an example of that in the, you mentioned the publican in the temple. Well, the Pharisee is an example of a man whose prayers bounced right off the ceiling. He prayed thus with himself. Remember the text? In other words, the Lord's not hearing him. And yet, in our case, God has promised that if we ask something in the name of his son, that he'll hear us. And again, that's not a carte blanche that we can have everything we want. It's to pray for the things Christ himself would pray for. And it's to pray as he would pray. But it is to pray in his name, acknowledging the privilege that is ours through him. Again, it is God's way, and I've often put it this way, prayer is God's way of cutting you and I in on the business, in on the action. It is difficult to express how prayer works. Does prayer change things? We see that bumper sticker. Does prayer change God? Not really. Does prayer change us? Yeah. What it appears, though, that God changes due to prayer, because in responding to the prayer, it appears that the prayer has changed the will of God, doesn't it? From our perspective, it looks like that, right? It looks like God repented, changed his mind. In actuality, it was God who put the desire to pray the prayer in our heart in the first place. So he's simply responding to his own initiative, shall we say. But prayer gets real complicated. We all know what praying is, then we got to define it. And all of a sudden it gets very difficult to say, how does this all fit together? But one thing is true, is that God loves to respond to the cries and the praying of his people. And that ought to encourage us tonight as we go to prayer, that God loves to hear us voice what he wants to do. That our will is brought in line with his will. Just like Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. We want our will to be his will. Uh-huh. Pursuing prayer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then not only that, not only to initially know him, but Paul in the Ephesian letter is praying that their eyes would be open to realize what had happened to them. First prayer in chapter 1, then in chapter 3, that they would know the height, depth, width, length of all the love of Christ. In other words, you're right, that there is that pursuing God in prayer. That's a good way of putting it. And pursuing holiness for ourselves. Pitiful prayer. crying him right in from a state of pity, very similar to poverty or spirit. But we think of something's pitiful. We tend to think in terms it's awful, but pitiful means that it is pulling at our heartstrings. It's full of pity. It demands our sympathy, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Yeah, James. Well, in a way, perspicuity is similar to that, but protect on your families and travel. You think of the number of prayers for protection, protective prayer. I would call that, that's part of that perspicuity that we're watching in prayer for danger, for attacks, that type of thing. But that's, I'm writing some of these down, protection. Okay, well, we'll leave this. Now, how many of those, since we used alliteration, how many of those can you recall? Now, don't speak out loud, but in your mind, go through, how many of these can you number? How many of them can you remember? Okay, now give me the grand total. Everybody's embarrassed to speak out. But you see what I mean about it being a memory aid? Of these things make these things easier to recall. For some reason, our minds work that way. A number of memory aids, if you're the idea of rhyming in a poem, it's amazing singing songs, how music helps you to remember. I once heard a guy say, you can stand up and sing the Star-Spangled Banner. If you tried to stand up and quote it, you'd get all messed up. It's something about music that makes things easier to remember. Association makes things easier. If you have a system, something to associate people, the names of people with, certain things, those are easier. And what I'm saying is the Bible used alliteration there in Psalm 119, apparently as a teaching tool for people, and it's all about different ways of expressing affection for the law, the revelation of God. Okay, well, let's put some of this to work tonight. Let's practice our prayer.